This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosie Brick said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this Tuesday, March 2nd. It's going to be a special ENN because yesterday's was so bad that I promised the world on Twitter, at Rosenberg Radio.
I saw that. That was unnecessary.
I didn't think it was that bad. Did you, Don?
No, I thought it was terrific.
There were big mistakes made, and it was...
Oh, yeah, that's true. You were awful.
So I wanted to make a guarantee that today would be better. So that's going to happen.
So you'll do the heavy lifting, not the two of us.
I got it. I'd like to start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
I'm so afraid!
And good evening to Don.
Oh, so gross.
And to Michael.
It's like I'm supposed to wet my pants.
And to Don. And to Michael.
You're a death deliverer and you're a ringleader.
And to Don.
It's not attractive, but how else you want to do it?
And lastly, to Michael. Lastly, to Don.
Please be wrong, God.
Don's been talking to God a lot lately. Oh, dear God. He does that a lot.
No, it's oh, dear God in heaven.
Right. Oh, dear God. Like God has any other address.
And Marcos picked up on it because I'll watch him play and something won't go his way. Like, oh, God.
Really?
And then Nancy will say, no, it's goodness. And he'll go, goodness.
In heaven.
Well, actually, we're going to start off with something serious here. We haven't picked up on this in a little while, but the family of the child injured in that car accident involving Chiefs assistant and Andy Reid's son, Britt Reid, that family wants Reid to face the most serious charges possible. The attorney says that 5-year-old Ariel Young suffered a devastating brain injury when the Chiefs assistant... when his truck slammed into two cars on the side of a highway entrance ramp near the Chiefs training complex back on February 4th. Young is currently unable to speak or walk, and her family wants the most serious charges and the most serious sentence that Britt could ever receive. Child has been hospitalized since the crash, and police have said that Reid told investigators that, quote, he had 2 or 3 drinks, along with Adderall, which is prescribed. No charges have been filed.
Hmm. I don't even want to think about that stuff, you know.
So we thought we got good news, and of course we did when she woke up, but obviously there's still a long road ahead. And, you know, the Reid family has also gone through a lot. Andy Reid lost one of his children several years ago to suicide, and now... his other son facing, you know, a really bad sentence. And you have a family that's dealing with just an unbelievable circumstance, praying that their child is able to walk and talk again. So we'll see what happens with the Britt Reid case. Michael, are you surprised to learn that the Yankees were among the teams scouting Yoenis Cespedes during his showcase in Florida earlier today?
No. I don't think that they leave any stone unturned. I mean, they just want to investigate everything just for the information, do the due diligence, and I don't think he fits on the Yankees, but why not send a guy there? What's the harm?
Yeah, I mean, they were one of 11 teams to see the 35-year-old work out, so I guess nothing crazy, but...
Last thing they need is another right-handed bat, so I don't see it happening.
I don't know if I think Cespedes has anything left in the tank. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
You wouldn't think.
I don't know. I mean, he's certainly well-rested.
Well said. Michael, you talked about this earlier today. From The Athletic, the Cleveland Indians have publicly said that they were unaware of any inappropriate behavior toward women by Mickey Callaway while he was with the team. But The Athletic is reporting that manager Terry Francona and top club officials were made aware of complaints from a man who says Callaway and his wife had an affair from 2015 to 2017. The woman was contacted by a Cleveland-based attorney who told her Francona offered to speak to her husband, which is strange. Meanwhile, the husband had a phone conversation with an MLB security official who told him that Callaway wants this to all go away.
Let's stop one second, Peter. If that's true, how odd is that? So the manager of the Indians is willing to speak to the husband of the woman that his pitching coach is cheating with.
I got to tell you, every bit of what I just said was crazy town.
It is. It's almost like, again, The Onion. Sports turning into The Onion.
The sports pickle, if you will.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Why would Francona put himself into that situation?
Isn't this as simple as, hey, and again, we're removing for this sake of this conversation the other things alleged about Mickey Callaway. But for the purposes of this specific conversation, if you're the Indians, don't you just say to him, hey dude, sounds like you got a messy situation over there you better take care of.
Yeah,
what
is
that? Yeah, what does that have to do with us? But not talking to the husband of the woman you had an affair with?
But he reached out to the Indians?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that still falls on Callaway. Like earlier we were talking about how, hey, listen, infidelity, it happens in all walks of life. Is that a fireable offense? Is that a reason not to hire somebody? Is that withholding information if you know that? But when the husbands of the wives start calling the office complaining, well, now it becomes our problem, doesn't it? It's like, hey, Mickey, straighten this stuff out here. We don't need these people calling the team complaining about your behavior. So this now crosses the line of, all right, he was unfaithful to his wife. Hey, that's a private matter. Keep it in the family.
Right, but now it's that you're a mess.
Now the jaded husband's like reaching out to us. You know, this, we can't have this. Get your affairs in order, man.
And also the story goes on to say that it was no secret. I mean, somebody that the Athletic interviewed said, we all knew here in Cleveland, just stay away from him. The wives, the players' wives said it, just stay away from him. So this was an issue. And obviously, he having an affair with a woman who's married, it's unfortunate, but it doesn't fall under the heading of something that should be that his employer has to take care of. But when, as Don said, the husband starts contacting the employer, and you know that Callaway, all the women that work in the Indians know to stay away from him, then I'm sorry, you can't bury your head in the sand. I don't care if he's Cy Young as a pitching coach.
Yeah, this isn't, you know, a husband who strayed. This is a husband who is a serial adulterer, and now it's affecting us. Listen, players are allowed to do whatever they want, right, Michael? I mean, listen, we know a lot of players have their good times on the road. But if a bunch of women started calling the office of the Yankees complaining that this player did this and that, I'm sure they'd have a talking to with them, right? They wouldn't just say, oh, the players being players. No, no. Now your issues are starting to affect us.
That's fair. I want to offer a serious correction here. I said that Garrett Reed, Andy Reid's son, had committed suicide. When he died back in 2012, it was reported to be an accidental heroin overdose. So I want to apologize for that. Accidental heroin overdose at training camp for the Eagles back in 2012. Horrifying either way. The point the same, that the Reeds have had a real go of it over the last decade personally. Let's move on to the Brooklyn Nets. And Jimbo Harden. Jim Harden and the Nets.
Now it's Jimbo? Nice.
Can be.
I think it should be. The way he's performing, Peter, I mean, again, it's your thing, but I'm thinking of going with Jimbolina.
Jimbo, I don't know.
I don't know if that's flattering.
Yeah, I don't think
so. Let me think about it. No.
Yeah.
How about Jimbolino?
Jimbolino?
Uh-huh.
I think Jim or Jimbo is good. I think we got to kind of stop there.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. The Nets ended up holding on to beat the Spurs, the first regular season win in San Antonio since when, guys?
2003.
Two.
Ooh, 19, they beat them in the finals in 2003 there.
19 years.
Wow, that's
Nets now 23-13. The Nets had built a double-digit lead with 2 minutes left in regulation. Blew it by allowing the final 10 points of the quarter to go to the Spurs. And then in OT, got it done. James Harden, you know, pedestrian night. 30 points, 15 assists, 14 rebounds, 0 turnovers, 27-7 assists, plus 6 boards from Kyrie Irving. Let's hear from Kyrie talking about Jimbo Harden.
I think we have to implement the phrase, get used to it. You know, when someone's that special, someone's that talented, someone's that gifted, and they're able to, you know, do all facets of the game at a very high level, they're able to play, you know, at a very high level, and he's been displaying that. And it makes it easier for me. I'm sure other guys can echo the sentiment. When James is being James, it makes all our job a lot easier. And, you know, we got to get used to somebody special like that doing, you know, things like that in terms of breaking records. So I can't wait to be right alongside him with my name in Nets history, you know, alongside KD, alongside BB, alongside Joe, alongside all the guys on our team where we're just breaking records as a team. And then individually, you know, we're stacking up with some of the best to ever play. So that's pretty great childhood dream to accomplish.
I don't know if I've ever felt like this about a player. I always thought he was great. Now watching him all the time, he's better than I thought. And I thought he was great.
You're talking Jimbo.
Jimbo. Jimbolino.
So great, by the way, that reports are coming out of Houston saying the Rockets want to retire Harden's number 13.
Wow.
Foolishness.
In spite of the way things ended, he admits that he came into camp overweight, that he wasn't trying his hardest, and willed his way out of Houston. Apparently, the Rockets still want to honor him with a retirement ceremony.
That would be like the husband whose wife was cheating with Callaway.
Go ahead.
Naming his wife the wife of the decade.
Or naming their next child Mickey.
Oh, even better. Wow. Retiring Mickey's name. And so you could call the kid Mickey and remind yourself of the every time the Rockets look up to the ceiling and see number 13, they could remind themselves of the way Harden talked his way out of town. Great idea. And little Mickey.
And you made this point earlier. At some point in time, James Harden, you know, his jersey going to the Raptors is all-time great Rockets. I'm fine with it. But right now?
Now, I don't know if it's going to be done right now. Fertitta said it will be done.
But for the conversation to even come up right. Why is the conversation even coming up right now?
Crazy. You see what I'm saying, Peter? The fans must want it.
I don't know.
Because they're about to open it up, right? So at some point, you're gonna have a lot of fans there. Now, I don't know how many fans will be in the building when the Nets are there, what, tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
If he gets booed off the court, like, how do you justify retiring the number? I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe he gets a cheer. Would you have a different opinion if he gets a standing ovation from the fans in Houston tomorrow?
Maybe. I still don't think it's wise to even consider, you know, this. Fertitta might have been asked. He said, you know, that's something that we'll consider when James's career is over. But, I mean, what an awful breakup it was. I would be befuddled by Rocket fans that would give him an ovation. But, yeah. Is the ovation about the way he played? But it's hard to separate the way he played for them, which was, you know, MVP worthy, and then the way he left, which was, even James Harden said,
I know,
it was terrible the way I left.
But John Wall can't love it.
But other than complete dullard, the only reason that you would act positively to that question is if you think it would be received well by your fan base.
Maybe.
You know who's not doing great right now, guys?
Oh, one more thing, Peter. I'm sorry.
Please.
Harden has been great in what's happening with Houston. He's been sending money down there. He's really great in the community. Now, that doesn't mean that the Rockets have to retire his number or say they're going to retire his number.
But it could affect it.
But it could affect how the fans feel about it.
I guess. Please, Peter, go on.
Thank you. You know who's not doing great right now?
Who?
Luke Walton. Luke.
Well, he still has a job.
Well, for now he does not. He was on shaky ground on Friday. Questions about his job security started gaining steam. That was before Sunday. The Kings led the Hornets 123-115 with 113 left, but ended up losing 127-126 in a word, troubling. P.J. Washington of the Hornets' career high, 42 points. This, of course, came just two games after the Kings were blown out by your New York Knickerbockers. You guys remember that game?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That was the night the Knicks threw up 140 spot on the Kings. So,
by the way, I'm announcing right now I will be starting a new podcast called On Shaky Ground. So every guest I have, like, oh, Al Leiter's on shaky ground today. Or Andy Pettit's on shaky ground.
That's really a good idea.
Thank you. So I'll be starting a podcast shortly, and you can get it at Apple and all wherever you get your podcast.
It's like it's the Steven Seagal method of naming, right? Steven Seagal is under siege.
You
right.
say
Steven
you
Seagal is out for justice.
Wow, this is
Al Leiter is on shaky ground.
This is a huge moment on the show. Mm-hmm. Michael, did you know that Don pronounced his name Seagal?
I did. I didn't want to bring it up because it looks like I'm piling on Don.
What?
Steven
Seagal. He was with Mindenhall earlier, and I had to correct him. And if I go Seagal.
Steven Seagal. How do you say it? It's not Seagal?
Steven Seagal.
Seagal.
No, you said Seagal.
Oh, well, that's what I've been saying. That's I'm sticking with it.
No, no, you can't do that.
It's Steven Seagal.
Everybody knew what I was talking about.
Steven Seagal.
So you can mispronounce a guy's name. So
I can understand if I called him Steven Seagal.
You called him Seagal.
Right.
But his name's Seagal.
Like it's some kind of fancy wine.
It's not that big of a difference. Who cares?
Well, Peter brought it up. Take it up with him. I love you.
All right, you know what we're going to do? Let's take a quick break and do a little more ENN and maybe an episode of On Shaky Ground.
It's one of his best ideas. It really is terrific.
Who should be the first guest on Shaky Ground? Luke Walton?
Yeah, Luke Walton.
Luke Walton on Shaky Ground. Yeah.
Maybe Dave Rothenberg after what happened.
No, he's not on shaky. I have no control over people that are hired here because, look, Peter's sitting next to us.
Thanks.
Hired. I didn't say fired. I would never want you gone now, Peter. I don't
No. We were wrong.
We admit when we were wrong.
Thank you.
Much better than we thought. We thought you'd be horrendous.
I appreciate it.
I just didn't want another. I didn't want to. A third person.
Yeah, because
there was no judgment of your character ability.
Third person dropped them from 85 to 70%, Peter. You see what he's seeing?
I don't think that's it. I think it's more a referendum on some of the other third people that were there before.
So it's
interesting.
Seagal.
All right, let's towel off. We'll come back.
Seagal.
Maybe Steven Seagal will be on shaky ground.
I didn't say it that way.
Yes, yeah, you did.
You sure did.
Seagal.
Nope.
No, you said Seagal.
Seagal. Steven Seagal.
It's an odd way to pronounce it. It's maybe you're right. You're right. I give up. Maybe you're right and we're wrong. We'll be back. We'll find out on Yes and on Shaky Ground and on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Back here on the K Show, part two of Steven Seagal and ENN.
This just in, I've booked your next guest for On Shaky Ground.
Who is it?
Celtics head coach Brad Stevens.
On Shaky Ground. That's a great way to do the podcast. Just get people that their jobs are in danger. So that would be good. Who could we come up with? Who else is on Shaky Ground?
Everyone in the Texans organization, perhaps?
Yeah, yeah. Nick Caserio next on Shaky Ground.
So this is interesting. Rapper Sheck Wes, who's from Harlem, is actually, he said he was going to be going back to his basketball career. He played alongside his friend Mo Bamba in high school, and now he signed a contract to play with Paris Basketball. They compete in France's Pro B League. And Sheck will start playing in May. So shout out to young Sheck West. I did not know he was that serious a ball player, but apparently so. You may know his hit, Mo Bamba. You never heard it there?
I think I might have heard it.
Do we have that? If you have that by any chance, Anthony, it could be in there. Maybe not. Great, great, great tune. Well, this is not good news. The Penguins have placed Sid Crosby on the COVID-19 protocol list. Leading the team with 18 points and 7 goals. He'll miss the game against the Flyers tonight. And this comes a day after the NHL had their season low 4 players in the COVID-19 protocol. Tonight's game will also be the first with fans at the PBG Paints Arena since last March, but no Sid the Kid while he's in the protocol. Zlatan Ibrahimovic has continued his...
Doubling down.
He's doubled down. The AC Milan star, who has been catching flack for the things he said about LeBron James, basically saying, shut up and dribble. His stick-to-sports mantra has continued. He added, athletes unite the world. Politics divide it. Our role is to unite the world by doing what we do best. Athletes should be athletes, and politicians should do politics.
Shut up.
Yeah, how about shut up and play soccer? How about that? Actually, they dribble. Shut up and dribble, Zlatan.
Also, I mean, if athletes should be athletes, he should pipe down and not say anything. Don't give opinions other than I should have scored that goal.
That's a great point by you. He's actually going against himself. But it's such a foolish thing. And honestly, the notion of athletes bring people together, yeah, they do. In the moment, sports brings people together and allows us to forget our differences in the moment. That doesn't mean that those differences should never be addressed or talked about. And LeBron has done it brilliantly over the years. And
can you say this guy's name one more time, Peter?
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
On shaky ground, next.
Wow. Am I saying his first name right, Andrew?
Zlatan.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I've been saying Zlatan.
I like the way it's like
Seagull.
LeBron came right back at him. He goes, no, don't come at me with that. He said, I do too much homework.
Andrew, were you immediately taken aback by Don's pronunciation of Steven Seagal?
I was, yes. It was noticeable right away.
Do we have that isolated? Because
we don't yet. We will.
Anthony,
though,
he believes he didn't say it that way. And I think he has to have that thrown in his face every day for the next 10 days.
Don, every once in a while, breaks out that pronunciation of something that you just never even thought of.
Every once in a while? Every paragraph?
I don't know if that's true.
No, he there's some words I struggle with Hawthorne. Mm-hmm. He's got so many more. I mean, names.
Andrew, will you give us one? Because I know you remember them.
Every time he says the word philanthropy, I notice that he leaves out that H. He says philanthropy.
Yeah, but he says simple names wrong.
Steven Seagal is under siege.
Steven Seagal. Wow.
I preferred his fellow martial arts action film star, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That's closer than Seagal.
That's true.
Jonathan Livingston Seagal.
Yeah, that's strange.
It's in a word troubling.
The Miami Dolphins.
This is the same guy, Peter. I mean, we're talking at a school because Don has gone to do the Ranger pregame show on 1050. He has said that being at this level is a total accident. Well, what's the exact quote, Andrew?
It's a miracle that he's here.
Yeah, I think he called himself stupid, moron.
Which I don't agree with. I think he's very shrewd.
He's an untalented, stupid moron, you know.
Yeah, we're behind the scenes, we're working on the DiPietro Don trade.
Call me stupid, call me a moron, I'm all those things.
The Miami Dolphins are moving on from Kyle Van Noy.
No way.
Yeah, just one year.
They just signed him.
Yeah, 4 years, $51 million.
They got $15 million of it.
But Van Noy released a statement on Tuesday through the NFL Network that he was informed of his release and was surprised and disappointed.
So, sure, I don't know why he's surprised, but he should be disappointed. So that's why when you see deals announced that NFL players are getting, just look at the guaranteed money. So his deal was 4 years, $51 million. That's not what it was. It was $15 million. That was the guaranteed part of it. That's all it was.
And they saved $10 million on the cap. But, yeah, right. all he could get is his 15.
I mean, and they didn't break a contract. It's contractual that they can get out of it. It's not guaranteed other than the $15 million. They have to pay him that.
Exciting news for you, Michael. March 12th, 2 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, which is apparently still an active app, there will be a King of Queens table read. Leah Remini posted this on Twitter, saying the whole cast is getting together for a one-time reunion and tribute to Jerry Stiller, benefiting Henry Street. Opening the doors of opportunity to enrich lives and enhance human progress for New Yorkers through social service, arts, and healthcare programs since 1893. So a cool cause, though I won't watch it to match the entire run of the show.
Now, will they do a table read of an old show? Or somebody's going to write a new King of Queens?
I assume it's an old show.
Now, I like King of Queens. It's nice. A nice way to blow a half hour of your life away, but it's not a classic comedy by any stretch of the imagination. It doesn't fall under any of those headings. And it's not Seinfeld or The Honeymooners or MASH or All in the Family. It's just not that show.
By the way, Michael, how much admiration do you have for Norman Lear?
Oh, my goodness. Did you see that speech?
98 years old.
And he gave a speech that was so great. I don't know if he was reading off a teleprompter, but if it was off the top of it, I mean, he was amazing at 98 years old.
I cannot believe. It's one thing to be successful. It's one thing to live a long life. To be as successful and live as long a life, is he in a category by himself?
He's in a Betty White category.
Yeah.
Betty White's 99.
But Betty
White has dropped out of, like, public eye for the last 2 years, so you wonder if she's okay. But he, I mean, that was an extraordinary speech he gave at the Golden Globes, and he's still producing things, like the reboot of All in the Family, the reboot of The Jeffersons. He's right in the middle of it. He's working.
I mean, and the man changed television forever.
Yep.
I mean, you watch what he did with TV in the late 60s into the 70s and the 80s. He was tackling things that just were not talked about. Things that probably couldn't be talked about that honestly today.
I was just going to say that. You couldn't do some of those All in the Family shows today. With cancel culture, you'd be off the air. That you said the things that Archie Bunker said.
But he knew what he was doing, and he changed the game forever. On this day, in 1993.
What happened? What happened?
I remember it well. Super Mario, my favorite athlete at that time, had a goal and an assist in his first game after missing 23 following his diagnosis with Hodgkin's lymphoma. Unbelievable. The Super Mario story is something else.
Also, there was something happened on this date. I believe it was, Andrew could correct me, 63, I think?
62, Michael.
62. Tell us.
Well, unfortunately, there's no audio. There's no video. As a matter of fact, the only thing we know about this day is really a still photo.
Yes.
With a man holding up a piece of paper that says 100. Yes, on this day in 1962, Wilt the Stilt scored 100 points in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And you know, if there's one team that could give up 100 points to one player, it was the Knicks. The most points in one game in NBA history.
All right, now, as a sports fan and then as a man, does that number impress you more than the 20,000?
Well, I don't believe the 20,000. I mean, it's almost like the proof is equal for both. Because if I told you guys I did something, you said, well, oh, really? Well, let's see it. And I said, well, I got this picture of me holding up a picture that said, I just went on a date with Kate Moss.
Well, wait a sec. I mean, there are box scores from and stories that he scored 100 points. There are no box scores from his conquests.
That's a great point. So I'll give it to the 100 points. And I'll tell you what, Don and I have had this argument before. I'm curious for both you and Andrew's thoughts on this, because when Don and I have argued it, I don't think either of you have weighed in. when I've sort of celebrated the Kobe 81 point night, Don has sort of suggested that because of the 3-point nature of the NBA game, that he thinks the 100 points will be broken, and I don't agree. I know we've had more 50-point games over the last few years, but, I mean, Kobe's the only one who's come close.
But you could see Steph hitting 33-pointers in a game, so boom, you've got 90 right there.
But could you see him hitting 30? That's so far beyond what anyone's done. No one's hit 20. Andrew, what's the record for most 3-pointers in a game up till right now? My guess is it's like 14.
So Steph, I think, had a game of 13.
That's 39 points.
So the idea of him having 30 threes in a game, Michael, seems a little far-fetched.
But if they were out of it and they just set – he could hit 30 threes, let's put it that way.
Yeah, he's
And they
capable.
Just set him up to shoot every single time. I mean, I don't know what the dynamics were with Wilt's 100.
I don't believe it will ever – I don't think we'll ever see it again, 100 in a game.
So you're with me 100% is what
I
you're
don't
saying.
Think we'll ever see it again.
Yeah, I can't believe Don casually says someone's going to get 100 one day. It's such an obscene – to me, it's the most unbreakable record, at least like in-game record in any sport ever. No one's ever touching that.
Our resident comedian, Mike Gaffney, said it's amazing how Don can get all the hockey player name right, but philanthropy and Steven Seagal trip him up.
Steven Seagal. Bronx Bielsa put up a tweet that just made me chuckle.
What's
that? It's just a picture of Steven Seagal next to a seagull, and it says, out this summer, on shaky ground.
Steven Seagal.
Don's pronunciation next on shaky ground.
That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening.
Now, one of our great guests, one of our great listeners, we know him, Shining Wizards Kevin, said, now, how about we call Harden Jimbalaya?
Jimbalaya. Jimbaruski. A little Rob Schneider vehicle.
You know who we have next, right?
I believe it would be Carlin.
No. The big fella.
A.K.A. the big fella. Yeah, that's right.
And him. All right. Well, we'll be back as he leads right into his short show, because we have the Knicks on tonight as well from San Antonio. It's Kay.
Sure we do.
LaGreca Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.